welcome all of you here tonight to this very special Christmas service. It's a good congregation, a lot of members, a lot of visitors. So we're glad that all of you are here. We just pray that you're blessed as we share together. And each child or each adult that shares, maybe we'll have something to say that will just be a blessing to you. We're not into sheep stealing, but if you're here as a visitor and you don't go to church anywhere else, we'd love to have you. But if you have your own church, be faithful where you are, because God wants us all to worship Him in those special places and special times. May we bow our heads and just pray for a moment before we start. Father, we thank you for this day. Day when we remember Jesus. Jesus, born on Christmas, crucified on Easter, or Good Friday, and then resurrected on Easter. All because God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should never perish, but would have everlasting life. And Father, I pray that as different ones share tonight, if there's any person in this building that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, we just invite the Holy Spirit to be a loving, convicting power in their life to draw them to the Savior. Father, we thank you that Jesus is good news. Good news. Father, I pray for your anointing upon each person that shares. May it be a special time. Very special time. Give them the words to say. Lord, you know our hearts. And Lord, we just want to tell you we love you. Oh, we love you so much, Lord. And as the Bible tells us, we love you because you first loved us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good evening. I almost said good morning, but good evening. And Merry Christmas to all of you. Welcome to our Christmas service. We're going to do things a little different tonight, and the reason we do is, quite frankly, we have not had our choir back since COVID decided to take it from us. But we're going to do things different tonight. We're going to have this night. It's going to be a song fest, but it's going to be a little different than usual. We're going to be including the people who will be sharing with us tonight their favorite Christmas stories and from the past, and also their favorite Christmas song. And all of that's going to come about, and then we'll have some time for our children, and the pastor will be here as well. And so we'll have a good evening together. Then after it's all over, we'll do what all Baptists do. We'll go eat. So all that's going to be it. We're going to start off with a good Christmas hymn sing, and it's called "It's the First Noel," page 85, or it'll be on the board as well. Let's all stand and sing verses 1, 2, and 4 as we sing the First Noel. everybody said. Amen. Shake the hand and welcome somebody here tonight if you do that for me. As I said, we're going to ask the members of our church to come and present to us their favorite stories and their favorite song, and we'll just have fun. We'll have together. We'll enjoy all the music together in a song fest tonight. Miss Rita Linker is our first one up. I told her this morning. I said, Rita, you're going to kick us off. She said, well, you wouldn't want to save the best to the last or something like that. I said, well, no, you actually are. But you actually are one of the best. There's no question about that. So, Miss Rita, if you will, I think Mr. West wants you to be up here at the podium right here, and everybody will come here. So, Rita will kick us off with it. Thank you, Rita.
Y'all, it has been a long day. I just told Tonda good morning. So, you know. That's not, won't be long till morning, I tell you that. Leonard asked if I would come and share, and I said, yes, I would. Well, first I told him no. Well, actually, he didn't finish asking the question, did you? He said, can I ask you? And I said, no. But anyway, I said I would. And so I thought about what I wanted to talk about, and I guess one of my fondest memories of Christmas. It's not necessarily a particular year of Christmas, like a certain Christmas or anything, but it was more a tradition that we had. And my mama would bake a lot of cookies. I mean, there must have been, my goodness, 78 different varieties of cookies that she would make every Christmas. I mean, it just went on and on on the list. Fruitcakes, different kinds of things like that. And, you know, just those memories of her being in the kitchen baking. And while she was baking, I was singing. And I had a little stool over, you know, kind of to the side of the refrigerator. And I had my little record player on there. And I was young, very young, probably not much older than our little Charlie. And I was big enough to, you know, pick the needle up and put it on the little thing. And so it was, the music was anything from, I don't know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer to Silent Night, Joy to the World, Here Comes Santa Claus, I don't know, just whatever. Santa Claus is Coming to Town, all those. And it was just a good time, a fun time. And that's just a real fond memory for me. And but one of the other parts of that is that when she did all this baking, she would also share, and sharing with the neighbors. And she would pack up make these little, I don't know, sometimes it would be a pie pan, sometimes it would be like a paper plate or something, and just make a variety of cookies on these little things and bundle them up, and my brother and I would take them to the neighbors. And that, we could not wait to deliver those packages to the neighbors, to the I'll say older people. There were a lot of older people in our neighborhood, but there were also some young couples too, some widows and older people with children, older people without children. And that was such a privilege, you know, to be able to do that. That was an exciting thing that we got to do. We could not wait to do it. I didn't even know what the word privilege, probably didn't even know that word at the time, but looking back on it now, it was a privilege, and it's such a joy, because children do love to give. They love to do that. And another part of my mother's giving spirit is working in the field that she did. She was a nurse, and she would see a lot of loneliness at Christmas time. And it was not unusual for her at all to be at home packing up a box of something. Maybe there was a child in the hospital that Santa wasn't going to come see. Maybe, you know, they were going to have to spend their time in the hospital without a real home Christmas. And or, you know, it might be an elderly person that didn't have a family. And she would be, you know, busy, you know, putting things together for, you know, for these people. And other people contributed too, but she was kind of the putter togetherer, you know, getting it packaged up, usually in a cardboard box wrapped in, you know, Christmas paper or something like that. Nothing fancy, but it was just a given time. And so with her spirit of sharing, I want to, you know, I told you about us delivering the cookies and everything. So just to continue on that tradition, I'm going to ask my helpers.
You're not talking to me, are you?
To come.
Oh, my goodness.
And they have some goodies for everybody.
Oh, Rita. My goodness.
So, you know I got to do something different. You know I can't do that. And while they're doing that, you know, I don't want to take up a lot of time with this this giving, but you know, I told you about my little record, my record player being on the little stool that we had, and to me at that time it was just a stool, but years later I found out that that my dad had made that little stool in a shop class that he took in high school, and he would be 100 years old this year. I still have that stool that I had my record player on, and that is just a, you know, just a special treasure for me to have that. Andon. Send one to Miss Pamela. Give him another one so he can take one to Miss Pamela. And our sound guys upstairs, if you please, will send them. Hudson, will you take two upstairs, please? Is everybody getting one? I think they hadn't made it to the back yet, but everybody in the front, you got some? Avery, we have some people just coming in. Cowboy cookies. I should have told y'all that at the beginning. This was my favorite cookie. It was always one of our favorites at our Christmases, and we still make these, and it still continues to be a favorite. I always make sure that Mama's not able to bake anymore, but I always make sure that she has, you know, I do the cookie dough for her and make it out in little things, and she freezes it, and then she can take how many, four or five, six, and put them in a little toaster oven and bake them like that and have fresh baked cookies. So it's still a favorite. Okay, is anybody that didn't get one? Okay. Thank you, elves.
Good job.
Thank y'all so much. Now I'm going to turn to something a little bit more, a little more serious. And this is something that I read, and I really wanted to tell this in my own words, but I just could not make it. I just could not do it the way that this man wrote this. And like I said, I really don't like to just stand up here and read, but I am going to read this tonight just because I think it's so. Elves, you need to sit down.
Please.
But anyway, this is the, this was written by William B. Smart. And it's, I guess it's in a book, Messages for a Happier Life. But it's called The Three Levels of Christmas. And I just, well, y'all can, you know, form your own opinions, but I just thought it was spot on. Christmas is a beautiful time of the year. We love the excitement, the giving spirit, the special awareness of and appreciation for family and friends, the feelings of love and brotherhood that bless our gatherings at Christmas time. In all of the joyousness, it is well to reflect that Christmas comes in three levels. Let's call the first the Santa Claus level. It's the level of Christmas trees and holly, of whispered secrets and colorful packages, of candlelight and rich food and warm open houses. It's carolers in the shopping malls, exciting children, and weary but loving parents. It's a lovely time of special warmth and caring and giving. It's the level at which we eat too much and spend too much and do too much and enjoy every minute of it. Now that I might differ with that little statement right there. But we love the Santa Claus level of Christmas. But there is a higher, more beautiful level. Let's call it the Silent Night level. It's the level of all our glorious Christmas carols, of that beloved, familiar story. Now, in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. It's the level of the crowded inn and the silent, holy moment in a dark stable when the Son of Man came to earth. It's the shepherds on the steep, bare hills near Bethlehem, angels singing their glad tidings, the new star in the east, wise men traveling far in search of the Holy One. How beautiful and meaningful it is, how infinitely poorer we would be without this sacred second level of Christmas. The trouble is, these two levels don't last. They can't. 12 days of Christmas at the first level is about all most of us can stand. It's too intense, too extravagant. The tree dies out and the needles fall off. The candles burn down. The beautiful wrappings go out in the trash. The carolers are up on the ski slopes. The toys break. The biggest day in the stores for the entire year is Exchange Day. December 26th. The feast is over and the dieting begins, but the lonely and hungry are still with us, perhaps lonelier and hungrier than before. Lovely and joyous as the first level of Christmas is, there will come a day very soon when Mother will put away the decorations and vacuum the living room and think, "Thank goodness that is over for another year." Even the second level, the level of baby Jesus, can't last. How many times this season can you sing Silent Night? And really, y'all, after Christmas is over, do we ever sing it again until next year? No, we don't, do we? We don't. The angels and the star and the shepherd, even the silent, sacred mystery of that holy night itself, can't long satisfy humanity's basic need. The man who keeps Christ in the manger will, in the end, be disappointed and empty. That baby had to grow up, didn't he? Had to grow up. No, for Christmas to last all year long, for it to grow in beauty and meaning and purpose, for it to have the power to change lives, we must celebrate it at the third level. That is the adult Christ. It is at this level, not as an infant, that our Savior brings his gifts of lasting joy and lasting peace and lasting hope. It was the adult Christ who reached out and touched the untouchable, who loved the unlovable, who so loved us all that even in his agony on the cross, he prayed forgiveness for his enemies. This is Christ, Creator of worlds without number, who wept because so many of us lack affection and hate each other. and then who willingly gave his life for all of us, including those for whom he wept. This is the Christ, the adult Christ, who gave us the perfect example and asked us to follow him. Accepting that invitation is the way, the only way, that all mankind can celebrate Christmas all year and all lifelong. So I just, you know, I couldn't find another way to word this. It was just a beautiful, story. I mean, I don't know if you call it a story, but anyway, it's a beautiful writing. And you know, we do get so hung up in this first level of Christmas that, you know, we forget about the rest. And we love baby Jesus. We really do. We love that child in a manger, but he had to grow up to fulfill his purpose. Had to grow up to fulfill that purpose. So now it says memories and a song. I am not going to sing. That's my Christmas present to y'all. But the song I chose tonight is it's a Hallelujah Christmas. And or Christmas Hallelujah, maybe that's the way it is. But but I told y'all it's been a long day. But anyway, this is it's going to be a familiar tune to y'all. This song was the original version of this song was written, I think, in the 80s by Leonard Cohen, and it was a very secular song. It does have the word Alleluia in it quite a few times, and a lot of people consider it a Christmas song. However, it is not. It is not. And it's the original song it was kind of had a lot of eerie and kind of dark undertones to it. But since that time, people have taken the tune and rewritten it. And there's different versions of it. Pamela and her sister did the Easter Alleluia. I guess it was this past Easter. So that was the Easter version. So this is the Christmas version of it. And I listened to so many different ones, and I kept coming back to this one. This man just sings it with so much passion. And, I just love the song. And I hope y'all will get the same feeling. It literally gives me chills when I hear it. So I'm gonna let Jeff get that cranked up, and that'll be the end of my part. So thank y'all.
I've heard about this baby boy who's come to earth to bring us joy. I just wanna sing this song to you. It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift. With every breath I'm singing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you. baby boy would grow to be a man and one day die for me and you. My sins would drive the nails in you. That rugged cross was my cross too. Still every breath you drew was hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Thank you, Rita. Now you know why I asked her to kick it off. Beautiful job. Our next speaker is going to be the chairman of deacons here. And Jeff, I'm not going to put any pressure on you, but your mom is here, so you want to be careful. And so you come. Jeff said, Leonard, I will come and I will speak, but I will not sing. And there again, that's your gift. And so... Come on up here, son. This man I have worked with many, many years here, and I have found out something about him. He's got a heart as big as he is, and he's there for you. If you need anything at any time, there's the man right there. He's for you. Son, go ahead and take it away.
I can't believe he had me to follow Rita.
That's tough.
That was amazing, yeah. I can go ahead and tell y'all there ain't no cookies. Not on this one. Y'all know I kind of do a special job. I'm going to get tore up here. I'm sorry. But at Christmas, I have a special job. And I enjoy every moment of it.
Yes, you do.
I've done it 38 years. First time I did it, I think I was 23. And I've done it every year since. But the one Christmas that I always remember when I think about Christmas is one of the last years. My dad was alive, and all the family was together. So it was a real special Christmas. We was in West Virginia, foot of snow on the ground. White Christmas, and I got everything I asked for. Brand new sleds, basketball, but the one toy I remember, it was an Erector set. Had a little electric motor with it. You could make it lift stuff up. You could build all kinds of stuff with it. If you sold it today, you'd get sued in 6 different states if you gave it to a kid. But it was... I burned it up in a week. I stuck one of the probes in an outlet. I don't know whether Mom knows that or not. She does now. But I don't know why, but I always remember that Christmas. It was the best one I think I ever had. But the other thing I like to do at Christmas is play jokes. I enjoy it. My wife has a tendency to like to unwrap packages, sneak into them, cut them open. Well, you don't know more, and I'll tell you why she don't do it. I wrapped up, one year, I wrapped up a half a brick and a light bulb. Her and her sister. And I put them under the tree, and I told both of them, do not shake them packages, it'll break. 2 days later, I come home. She was about in tears. I don't know what was in that box, but it's broke. I let it stay that way till Christmas. My neighbor, Terrell Smith, I don't know whether any of you know him, but when we used to live over on Ridgecrest, Terrell's wife come to me and said, do you know what Terrell wants for Christmas? I said, I know exactly what he wants. Him and I's talked about it. And she said, what? I said, a hard case for his bow. I gave her the picture of it and the number. She says, okay. She said, well, I'm going to get it for him. So she calls me the next day and said, I got it. What am I going to do with it? I said, just keep it there and tell him it's mine. And she said, okay, I'll do it. A couple days later, she called me. She says, how are we going to do this? I said, Christmas morning, Lori had already told me she'd got mine. I said, I'm going to have mine sitting on the coffee table. And you're going to have him to bring that one to me. Because they live right across the road. Well, Terrell thought he was going to be smart and have me to wrap my own present. Or he was going to borrow the paper to wrap my present. So he calls me and said he has to wrap a big present for his wife. Would I loan him some paper? I said, sure. So I carried him some Christmas paper over there, and he wrapped his own present. And I carried him two different kinds of paper because I didn't have big enough paper to wrap it. It was a big case. Christmas morning, his wife called and said, are you ready? I said, yep. So she said, I'm going to send him over. We looked out. We're all looking out the wind, and here he comes in his pajamas and a robe, and he's running. And I've got my bow case sitting on the coffee table, and he opened the door and he walked in, and I can't tell you what he called me at that point because we're in church. But he did say, I've wrapped my own present, and turned around and went right back out of the house. The other one I did on Lori, I'll never forget it. I bought her, I think, a ring that year. Anyway, I wrapped six boxes inside of each other with a note in each one to open the next one. When she got to the last one, there was a note at the bottom that says, your present's in your purse. It had been in her purse for over a week. I knew she'd never find it. You can't find nothing in that purse. So I have fun at Christmas. I enjoy it, and the reason I do what I do at this time of the year, it puts me in the mood, and it keeps me in the mood. That's
all right. God bless you, Jeff. I didn't know this until I got here, but this allowed me to sing my favorite Christmas song. Hadn't planned to do it, not at all. But he asked me if I would sing, and I said yes, and I'd like to sing my favorite Christmas song to you tonight. But I was just looking when Rita was talking about the record player beside of her. I thought, well, here comes Jingle Bell Rock. So, but no, far from it. What a beautiful song, Rita. That was well placed and well taken care of. But this is an older song, but this is my favorite, O Holy Night. Brenda.
His law is love, and His gospel is peace. Chains shall He break, for the slave is our brother, and in His name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymn of joy, in grateful praise we praise Him. Let all within His praise His holy name fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel's voice says, oh, no.
That is indeed my favorite song. Okay, Miss Rosina. Where is Miss Rosina? There she is. Miss Rosina, you come now and you share with us. I can always depend on Rosina when it comes time for singing. She says, yes, I love to sing, and I love to sing tonight for you and for the congregation. I said, you come. Sweet lady, and sings beautifully. Rosina Tucker.
As good as that was.
You most certainly can too, dear.
Tell you one thing about Leonard, though.
Uh-oh.
If you ever see him coming towards you with a pencil and a pad, he's going to take your name. You've done something wrong, or he wants something. I love you. And so he came to me and he asked me if I would tell a Christmas story and sing a song. I've got Facebook friends in here. I love to tell stories, right? I put some on Facebook right much. So, as my story begins with it being almost Jesus' birthday, I could just see the precious baby in my mind laying in a manger on a bed of hay or straw, wrapped up all cozy and warm in a special blanket Mary had brought, and she probably made it just for the baby's birth. And with that reminds me of a baby's birth that I remember. It was a hot day on August the 20th, the year of 1941, in the afternoon. I was 2.5 years old, the youngest back, and I'm probably about the oldest one in here tonight, that I can remember anything happening to me. And it was this one thing. So I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I guess I was looking for Mama because I never wanted her to get away from me. But Big Sister found me. She rushed me away. After that, I don't remember much else that happened then. But there was a wee baby in our house from then on. And that's my little brother, Tony. Wave, Tony. Wave to everybody. As you can see, he's now my big baby brother. But sometimes he thinks he's my mother. He loves telling me what to do. But that's okay. I love him anyway. So as he grew and got big enough, we did chores together. We carried chopped wood to the kitchen for our cooking, put wood on the front porch to heat the house. And we had three other brothers, older brothers and two older sisters. But my sisters being 11 and 12 years older than me, I just had to hang with my brothers if I wanted to play any games because I didn't count much. Anyway, horseshoes was everyone's favorite game. But I always felt kind of special because I was the only girl with all those guys. Anyway, I had to be tough, though, with the guys. He wouldn't let me cheat. You'd think a little sister they would, wouldn't you? Nope, wouldn't do it. Not even at checkers. You know, that's a... They could let me cheat at that a little bit. But he was always better than me at checkers anyway. But to say, Tony is the only brother, sibling I have left, so that makes us real close. And I do love to pick on him. We went to church every Sunday, and when they started singing the Christmas songs, I always got into the Christmas spirit. Gingerbread and sugar cookies was the main sweets that me and Mama made for Christmas. So as time got closer to getting a tree, Mama popped popcorn, and we made chains and colored construction paper chains to put on the tree. We didn't have store-bought shiny bells for the tree, but Tony remembered that the guys would go out and gather pine cones to decorate the tree with. I didn't remember that, but he did. Top of our tree was a cardboard star cut out. And Mama showed me how to make flour and water paste to put on the branches to make it look like snow. And when it got dry, it just looked like snow laying on the tree branches. And that tree made the house smell so good. As the years went on, we were able to get icicles and colored balls. And we liked that too, that we were just getting on up a little bit, getting prettier ornaments. So on Christmas Eve, we didn't have stockings. We borrowed our shoe boxes from brothers and sisters. And we sat them around the fireplace to get goodies in the next morning. So excited to get up. One night I was going to listen for Santa. Never heard him, but the goodies was there. Shoe boxes were full. Fruits, different fruits, and candy. I think Milky Way was number one candy. Tony remembered he called it a barbershop stick candy, red and white. You know, the barbershops had these things out advertising their shops that went around and around. I guess that's how he got that from it. But anyway, We've had a good time getting ready. And so beside the box of all that fruit and stuff, I think it had gum in it. Everybody had one special gift. Again, about as far back as I can remember, I had a doll. I named her Rose. Still got her. So that makes her about 75 years old. That still don't tell my age, though, so that's okay. So I need to get her out and look at her, see if she's getting wrinkles like me. Hadn't thought about that. And Tony got a Red Ryder B-gun one year, and he became a cowboy after that. I'm sure he had a hat to go with it, because you can't be a cowboy without a hat, can you, brother? He shook his head. And one year, Dad gave me an accordion. I could play the songs that came with it. You know, it had numbers and things. But Dad and brothers, they played the real music with their instruments. Dad played a fiddle. Nowadays, people would probably call it a violin. The only difference is that a fiddle is played for folk music, country, and bluegrass. And I think Leonard knows about that, don't you? Bluegrass, probably some of you guys. Anyway, the violin was it's the same thing as a fiddle, except for they play different. But a violin, they call it classical and jazz, is what they use a violin for. But boy, man, my dad could make that fiddle make your foot pat, whether you wanted to or not. I just sang with him and the brothers since my little old accordion, I couldn't do it. My most favorite times of singing was with Mama as she worked in her flower gardens. Why, even if she'd see a patch of weeds growing up, we'd dig it up and make a flower garden out of it. We had flower gardens all around the yard. I think dahlias was her favorite. I thought she had a voice like an angel. And as we sang, as we worked in the flower garden, in the garden, that's not counted as a Christmas song, but I just thought it was so appropriate. It don't have, and a lot of people use it for funerals, but it doesn't have to be a funeral song either. It can be any kind of song, as long as it, I think it uplifts you. And this is my thoughts on the verses of In the Garden. It's like when you go into the garden early in the morning. Of course, you got to get up kind of early at dawn to go out and do that. And the roses still had the dew on them. They smell so good. It's just relaxing and peaceful. Everything's so quiet. It just seems like you can feel God's presence in that garden. Now, I have a little garden. I call it my little memorial garden to my husband, with the kind of flowers in it that he likes, that I love to sit in, especially in springtime. On the second verse, that's about life and the beauty of all the living things, that even the birds, they just stop singing. They can hear God's voice. And on verse 3, now this is what I'm getting out of the song. You guys may get something different. Verse 3, you just might want to sit in the garden. And you know, some days I've actually been there 2 and 3 hours and I don't even realize it. It's just so peace and comfortable there. But God's telling us to go and know that we are never alone. There have been many times I know God had angels keeping me from getting hurt. There's so many, I just can't tell you. And I don't think Leonard would let me have time to do it either. He always puts me on a time limit. I'm just kidding. He knows that. He got on to me last year. I asked him how much time could I talk. He said, not over 30 minutes. So I've kind of timed his stand. I don't think I'll go over 30 minutes tonight. So now I want to sing In the Garden. I hope I can hit the keys right. I'm not going to sing it as good as Leonard. Do my best. This is,
it'll be beautiful.
I can just see me and my mother in the flower gardens. It was awesome.
To the
To sing one together now, give you a chance to stand to your feet again, relax a little bit and stretch a little bit. You can do that too. Miss Eve Ann, every Christmas, comes to me and she says, Leonard, we got to sing this song. You know what it is, Tom. I don't have to tell you. We got to sing this song. You want to come up here and sing it with me, Eve Ann? The answer is no. Okay. Well, so what we'll do, we'll let the congregation sing it with us. We're going to have the words up on the board for you. This is called The Beautiful Star of Bethlehem. Miss Eve Ann, and this is in your honor, dear. You asked every year, and I try my very best to make sure we do that. So if you would just stand to your feet, please, and relax a little bit to your feet and rest a little bit. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem.
Giving a light for the
That's for you, Miss Evanne. Hey, are we coming to a part now that I'm thrilled about always, and that we're going to let the children come and sing. Mr. Charlie, Mr., you going to sing first, or the children going to sing first? How are you going to do this? You just have it the way you want to do it, and I'm sure it's going to be perfect. Here we go. Good chance.
Everybody will come
all
on
right.
up.
All right, kiddo.
Mary, did you know that your baby
Children that would like to come down for the Christmas story, they're welcome to come. You're fine. Any others? I'm fine. You know, when my children are about your size, Every year on Christmas Eve, we'd gather around on the couch and I'd read them this story because it's what the Bible has to say about Jesus being born. Came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee to the city of Nazareth and to Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. She had this baby and they couldn't even find a room in a motel. They had to go to a stable to be where this baby was born. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. In other words, they got scared to see these angels. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you, you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But the Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. You see, they wanted to find out, was this baby real? And they found him, and they worshipped him. Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, and we thank God for Him. Okay. All right, you can go back to your seat. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Tonda and Ms. Kathy, for
Your blesser's just broke. That's all I'm going to tell you. And so it's wonderful, just wonderful to share. The next person we're going to have come speaking to you is one of our deacons again of the church. And all I can say about Grant, he's the master of anything you want done. And I say that seriously. He can do anything for the Lord you ask him to do. I ask him to come and speak to you tonight and give us his favorite song and his favorite story. So, Grant, if you would, please come. Mr. Grant Hartzell.
Thank you, Leonard. That was a little bit much, but...
No, it's true.
Well, Rosanna, he didn't come at me with a pen and paper. He come at me in an apron. And I don't know if you've ever seen Leonard in an apron, but it's hard to tell him no. Because all the other aprons say Leonard's little helpers. But no, he asked me to do this, and it actually spurred some good thoughts and some memories. I hadn't thought about it that hard, but when I think about Christmas, a lot of times, or mostly, I think about people. And I could go on and tell you about all the Christmases. I've got good memories from being a little boy and being around a heater and seeing the Christmas tree and mama's cooking and to my daddy getting drugged by a go-kart on Christmas morning. That was a good one. But even proposing to my wife on Christmas, that even happened. That's probably why she left, because I think that's she was scared. But
she's back there.
I see her back there. Okay. All right, so she's here.
Be careful. She's there.
Yeah. But I'm gonna talk about my grandma, because she was a special person in my life, and she lived right next door to us, and she was fun. She was fun. Everybody had fun with her. She taught Sunday school. She was a big part of my life, and when I think about Christmases, I can't not think about her. So one time she did take us looking at Christmas lights and got pulled over. This was a good one. She got pulled over. Officer thought she was drinking and driving, and she was drinking a Pepsi. But that's a good one. But no, she would bring us to her house, me and my two other brothers. There's three of us. And she would she had a fireplace in her living room, and she would start that. My grandpa would get mad every year she did it, but she did it anyways. But I remember being there and being with her, and they had magnolia trees in the front yard and went all the way to the ground, like some people grow magnolia trees, and you can climb them. And in this magnolia tree, there was big Christmas lights she would light up. And that's just a real fond memory to me, climbing that tree and going in after freezing to death around the fire. But that was mine. I could go on, but I'm not. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. Or I've got my little ones down there. I could tell a few stories on y'all. But that was one of my favorite Christmas memories. And my song, every year, Christmas time, it just it's a simple thing. It happens every year, but the reverence around Christmas in the world takes, whether they like it or not, is Silent Night. And it's probably the most quiet time of the year that you can go out and not hear a noise or see airplanes going through the air. And it's just a real reverent time, and the world observes it, like I say, whether they like it or not. And it's been happening for how many years?
Yeah.
We've done it for thousands of years, and that thought just sticks with me, how one person has came and you just keep doing it year after year after year, and you observe it whether you like it or not. You're going to get a taste of Christmas. But thank you, Leonard, for asking me.
Tell you what I want to do, Silent Night. I want us, Brenda, don't worry about that, Kathy. I want to sing the first verse of Silent Night together a cappella. That's one of the most beautiful songs that you'll ever sing a cappella. And let's do that together. You don't need to stand. You can just sit right where you are, and let's sing Silent Night. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright.
and mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. Grant, God bless you. Thank you very much. All right, now what I want to do now is call up one of our young members of our church. And I watched him as from a very young boy to he now is an adult man. And he's touched, his talents has been touched by the Lord. I'm looking for great things to happen to Michael. I know they will. So you welcome Mr. Michael Barbie. Come on up, Michael, to share with us.
So very much like Rita, Leonard came to me and I told him no. That was about a week ago. And then he
have a cookie.
And then the next day on Sunday during church, he said, "Michael, will you do it for me?" I said, "No, not doing it." And then about an hour after that, he asked me a third time and I finally agreed to it, with the exception that I wouldn't sing. But when I think of Christmas, I just want to say I'm so grateful for the family that God's given me. The family that attends this church with Grandma and Grandpa. Every year we get together on Christmas Eve and we eat breakfast for dinner. And there's just something special about eating breakfast while it's dark outside. I love it. And so that's something I would want to continue when I get married and have kids. It's definitely something that I'm going to keep going. I also like to flip my brother's picture down. We have pictures all up on the mantle, and so I like to flip that down just to remind him who's in charge.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's right. And then after we get done eating, we go to bed, wake up the next morning, it's Christmas. We open our presents, and then we would go to Wadesboro to eat with my other grandparents. And my grandmother on my mom's side actually passed away about 2 years ago. She found out she had a brain tumor a little after Christmas. And so that's always in the back of my mind. But like I said, I couldn't ask for a better family. So I'm very grateful for them. And so when Leonard said song, like, I'm not singing, but what would be really cool is if the congregation sang a song. And my grandmother that passed away, her favorite song was Hark the Herald Angels Sing. So I would love for us to do that in her memory.
Thank you. Michael. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. What a blessing Michael is to our church, and we watch him as. And I could have told you that if you had a meal with your granddad and grandmother McCord there, that it had to be breakfast. I have never seen a man enjoy breakfast in my life as much. Absolutely, got to be red eye gravy. Got to be, no doubt about it. Let's all join and sing "Hark the Herald Angels Sing" for Michael, okay?
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to God.
Miss Kathy, if you will. Kathy, she does the bulletins for us. She did the bulletin for it tonight. She keeps us all straight. And Kathy, thank you for your hard work and appreciate it. Come on up and share with us.
Thank you. I'm going to give Jeff a minute to get the song ready, and I'll tell you a quick little Christmas memory. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, because it happened before we moved out here to Barbie's Grove, but my dad was the toy department manager in Charlotte for 14 or 15 years. He worked for the Sears store downtown Charlotte. So he and Santa were buddy-buddy and really good friends. And so Christmas was very magical for me, because when we go visit Dad at the store, Santa was there, and so we got to see Santa quite a bit. And Christmas always brings back memories of my precious daddy. This song is one of my absolute favorite songs at Christmas, and just listen to the words. The video that I chose has misspelled words in it, but it's okay. The pictures are beautiful, and it's okay. So, thank you so much. Whenever you're ready. All right, I'm ready when you are.
For us, God is.
the Savior we have been praying for. In our humble hearts you will dwell. You are in us. You are for us. You are with us.
That will conclude us tonight, and Pastor Ed is going to come, and Pastor Ed, before you do come, I'd like to say thank you to some folks tonight, if you don't mind, just a few, and we'll let you close as God leads you, sir, but I want to thank Brenda and Kathy for the music accompaniment and hanging in there with us, and these guys at the top, you don't see them, but they're up there in the catbird seat, and they have been directing this thing tonight, and they have been flying blind a lot of the times. They've got new equipment up there and brand new computers, and because we had a lightning strike here and we had to replace everything. And these guys have been flying blind tonight, but they did a wonderful job. Don't you agree? And then I want to thank everybody that took part in this tonight. What a wonderful job. You should be able to feel good in your soul tonight, because God bless you. Thank you, man. Pastor Ed. Want to say a word about Pastor Ed. He's a man that every time we talk, and we talk a lot, every single time he answers the phone, he'll say, "Hello, brother." And I am glad, sir, that I can call you brother and you can call me brother. You've been an inspiration to me, and God bless you, Pastor Ed.
Let me take just a moment. I won't preach an hour and a half. You can, unless all of a sudden something happens. Those of you that are members know that I do a newsletter. Many of you here are visitors, and so you don't know what I wrote 2 or 3 weeks ago. But 2 or 3 weeks ago, I wrote about one of my Christmas memories. And I was about 14 or 15. Transistor radios had just come out. And my dad gave me one for Christmas. Now, it was about in that thick. And I had to carry it on my shoulder as I walked around town. But I thought I was a cool dude with a transistor radio. Of course, I was listening to country music, so I was probably a redneck. But but you know, what made that Christmas, it was used, but it was new to me, and so it was special. What made that Christmas radio real special was I found out my dad traded a coon dog for it. Now, my dad loved his coon dogs. I thought he loved his coon dogs more than he loved his kids. And for him to trade a coon dog for a radio for me said something about his love for me. And, of course, he loved my brothers the same. But, you know, there was a greater sacrifice made in heaven when our Heavenly Father made a choice to swap his son on a cross for your salvation and my salvation. When the Father in heaven said, "I so love these people, I will send my son," that is a sacrifice beyond measure. And as I've sat here tonight, I thought about three groups of people that are involved in the Christmas story. A moment ago, I read about the shepherds. What happened when they heard the news? They ran to find out, is Jesus the real deal? What about the wise men? When they saw that star, they ran to find out if Jesus was the real deal. But you know, you remember the story? The wise men stopped in Jerusalem because they thought that that's where the baby would be born. And they found out that he was in Bethlehem. And they explained it to Herod and the Pharisees and the other people there in Jerusalem, the elite. And what did they say? Well, you go find him, and if if you really find him, come back and tell us. Now, there were two groups, we just realized, they wanted to find out for themselves, was Jesus real? Another group didn't care. They didn't want to find out. Tonight, as we've shared about Jesus, we've sung about Jesus, he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Jesus is real.
Amen.
He is the Savior. He is the only Savior. And I realize that many of you here know him as your personal Lord and Savior. If this was the last day of your life, you'd go straight to heaven. But if you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus, have the wisdom of the wise men and of the shepherds. Check him out. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. Be willing to say, I want to know. Jesus, if you're real, would you come to me and I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. Don't be the foolishness of Herod and the elite of the palace and turn down a chance of eternal life. The best Christmas any gift anybody can give them is a salvation experience with Jesus.
Amen.
He is the real deal. He is the Savior. And the Bible, as I quoted again this morning, one day every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the Father. Do it willingly. Do it now. And make sure of where you're going to spend eternity. I'll be standing here after the service, and if there's someone here that wants to come and talk to me about making Jesus Lord of your life, please come up and talk to me. I'll stand here for a few moments, and as we head downstairs to the fellowship hall for the refreshments. But I'll be here if you want to talk to me for a few moments about accepting Jesus. Because after all, if you don't know Jesus, Christmas is just another holiday. But if you know Jesus, Christmas is an exciting memory. God loved me. God loved me and gave me eternal life, offered it to me. And what a difference it makes when we know Jesus. Kenny's going to come and have our blessing on our food. And then you are welcome to come downstairs and have the fellowship. But please, if you don't know Jesus, come talk to me about it. Kenny.
Let's pray. We're here for tonight, Father, to celebrate and have the privilege to partake part of this, enjoy this program tonight, Father. We thank you for each one that departed and blessed bed and served each one of us, Father. But at the same time, dear Father, we thank you for sending your son. This time we celebrate his birth, your Father. And we just really try to celebrate with all our heart, joy, and thanksgiving, Father, for this beautiful us. Since you set down that crucial. We were in you before that time, your Father. He led us in place, which is thank you for the spirit that we have in our life. That's the fourth decision that we make. Father, we thank you. Thank you. Father, give us the time of the program, but we have one more factor than food tonight, and that's our fellowship. We just want to thank you for all that prayer and food, Father, our hard work, Father, and just ask each one to be with you tonight and take place and enjoy it with us, Father. Thank you again for all the food and all the blessings.